handout this morning. If we could maybe get these out. These handouts go with the lesson today. So you throw us off. Sometimes it's take-home homework. Sometimes it's not. These ones are to help you follow along. So these answers are going to be given as we go. So we'll see how that goes. Maybe hopefully you have a... Anybody need a pen? All right. You're going to have to cut your finger and write in blood. I'm sorry. I have a pen. I have an extra one, Mr. McDowell, if you'd like it. There you are. Thank you. Mr. Nepra, I'll need one just so I can... Yeah, thank you.
Take one.
Thank you.
I got slippery fingers.
Yeah. All right. I didn't realize how much I lick my finger to do stuff because you're wearing a mask so often. I'm like, you know, I do that. All right, Psalm 84 this morning. Our family lessons are this thought. God has, these are going to be coming around. These questions do not start for a little bit yet, so we can discuss some things as you get that. The purpose of these number of lessons are to help you to maybe be, I don't want to use the word appreciative, but appreciative of the family that God has placed you in, and search or seek, I guess would be a better word, seek the Lord as to how God desires to use your family. And so that is kind of the thought. We can approach the family a lot of different ways. Maybe even this morning, I have a couple thoughts of identifying roles and who is supposed to do what and all of that. But it's going to be less of that and more of looking at the family as a whole. Again, if you remember the first week that we came out here, had a little table, had some fruits and vegetables, and asked the question, what does a fruit look like? What does a vegetable look like? Well, they all look different. What does a family look like? Now, every family looks a little bit different. Some have no kids, some have lots of kids. Some aren't married, some are married. Some have been married for 44 years. I'm looking at you, Mrs. Drellman. I see you. And some have been married 15 minutes, like the Seatmans. Not 15 minutes. But are you a month? Have you celebrated a month yet? 3 weeks and holding. Matthew, still good? All right, very good. Emily, still good? Okay, very good. She's got a thumbs up too. And great. So whether we're 3 weeks or 44 years, no matter what it looks like. Now, again, let's remember that our plans aren't always God's plans. And what you may have endeavored to be at right now, well, God might have changed something. But not to get disheartened with that, but to accept what it is and to seek the Lord. How do we serve the Lord to the fullest? Maybe you're single in here. And you say, well, I don't have a family. Yeah, but you're preparing for a family. You're getting ready for that, so let's pay attention to that. Hopefully you have found Psalm 84 by now. Verse 3, yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Look at verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee. Selah. Do you say Selah or Selah? When you read it, what do you say, Matthew? Selah. But it's, I think, pronounced Selah. But I don't know why in my mind. Okay, very good. This morning, our lesson is going to take this thought. If you can just get a hold of this thought, the church and the family run parallel. How many of you take, Lucy, have you taken any sort of introductory to geometry? Parallel lines, do they intersect? Not always, never actually. Parallel lines run next to each other. But what God instructs for the church, we're going to see how we can make application to the family. So a lot of the things he says to do to the church, we can look at and do for our family. So that's what we will be taking a look at here this morning, just so you know where we're going. God, look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Speaking of the church this morning. So I know we're in family class. Real quick side note, Brother King, did you get a blessing from Brother King? Like, was it a great blessing or like, that was pretty good? Great blessing. Okay. So we're talking about having him come back in spring of 2022. So it wouldn't be 6 months from now. It would be a year and 6 months. And we're really praying. He goes, we'll figure out what we're going to do when we get together. But that is kind of the plan. We're looking at maybe a family where he would, either way, he's going to bring his wife. That's the plan. But either a family type of lessons and classes, or maybe evangelism and help us with that. So anyways, so there's that, just something to look forward to. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 says this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God desires that we would be born again. We know that. Now, listen, we're talking about the church here, okay? So we're segueing, take a step away from the family thought. I know we're in family class, but we're referencing the church. God desires that each of us to be, what is that phrase there? Born again. If you've never been born again, say, how can I be born when I am old? What a great question. I feel like that question has been asked before. How can I be born of water and of the Spirit? Oh, great question. Well, go to John chapter 3. We'll ask those very questions. God desires that none of you be an orphan. Speaking of the church, He wants to be your father. Years ago, the Lord kind of broke our hearts a little bit about realizing how many children live in parentless homes. The foster care system is a big system, and we desired to look into possibly being parents to children that don't have any parents. In John chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. God desires that we be born into His family. He wants to be your father. If you're not His child, do you know what the Bible says we are? We're His enemy. Man, what a stark contrast. It's either you're His beloved child or an enemy. No middle ground. There's no area where, I'm finding favor today. No, He loves you. He sent His Son for you, but He desires to be your Father. Look at Romans chapter 8. And that is everybody. There's no circumstance. There's no, we draw the parallel of walking through Walmart, and there we are in Walmart, and we see the kids screaming, kicking, and throwing stuff and breaking stuff, and you go, man, I'm glad that kid's not my kid. I wonder if God, here, I'll tell you this. God never looks down and says, I wish he wasn't mine. He desires that we would all make Him our Father. Say, how do we do that? By accepting His Son. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. The Bible says in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. God has adopted you into His family. He chose you. He chose us all. And if you're here this morning, and if I asked you the question, are you born again? And you say, I don't know. God desires that we all be born again. Admit that we are a sinner. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save us of our sins. To repent of our sins. To confess and ask Him to be our Lord. Believing that 100%. And He desires. God never intended His people to be orphans. He made a way that all of us could call somebody Father. That's the church. Look at Romans chapter 12. I'm going to give you a few verses. Give you a few verses about the church being the body of Christ. Hint, hint, number one. All right, very good. Remember, how many of you had You know, you have a good teacher that a teacher tries to help you out, and then a teacher that tries to hide the stuff from you and trick you. I liked the good teachers. I liked the teachers that would say, as they were giving lectures or things, hey, here's a couple things you might want to jot down. Telling me that's probably going to show up on a quiz, maybe on a test. Here's a couple things you might want to pay attention to. Again, there's no test, but we can certainly look at this. Romans chapter 12 and verse 5, it says this, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. So not only as God desires to have you, Justin, to be his child, but then he takes all his children and he puts them together and he calls it, well, we would call it a family, but he calls it the church or the body of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We looked at these verses in young adults this past week. First Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. This is a command. It is not like something that you would have to sign up for. You know, I don't know. It seems like anytime I go to like a drugstore or something like that, they say, are you part of our super exclusive member offer where you can save, you know, half the price on your stuff? And I say, no, I'm not. And they say, well, would you like to be? It'll only take 15 minutes to sign up and we can do it right. No, I don't have 15 minutes. I just want my Mallow cups and get out of here. That's all I want. I just want my little candy and a Band-Aid and go home. And, you know, that the body of Christ, hey, it's not like, hey, okay, here's what you got to do now. You got to qualify. You have to attend at least two services a week for 45 consecutive weeks. No, that's not it. You have to attend, or you have to give, or you have to... No, you just have to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior to be part of the body of Christ. That's it. And in doing so, you get placed in. Again, I've told you, if I had a dream job, I'd be a shortstop or probably second baseman for a professional baseball team. But for not like a year. I want like a good decade, you know, like maybe a couple... World Series ranks and so on and so forth. MVP maybe somewhere in there. I don't want to just play. I want to really do well. But I look at my abilities and go, I'm not qualified. I can't get into that club. There's no one that could look around and say, well, I can't be part of the body of Christ. No, he desires that each of us be part of his body. The church is the body of Christ. We saw that in Romans chapter 12 and verse 5. We saw that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. Now go to Ephesians chapter 5. Three verses on the church as being the body of Christ. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Well, if he's my Savior, then I'm part of that body. Body as in not necessarily a physical body, but a group of people. Right? We talk about a body of water. What is that? That's just a mass amount of water. Well, here, as the body of Christ, we are, to fulfill what Christ had done, but we're part of a group. Each person has a role and part in this body of Christ. And we can go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to see all of that. Let's remember this. When part of the body doesn't function correctly, the whole thing suffers. How many of you physically have had an ailment? Anybody have like a sore leg or a sore back, and you try and compensate, and what happens? Another part of the body, in trying to compensate for the weakness of the one, ends up getting hurt, right? Isn't that what happens? Well, so it is in the church body. Imagine I so appreciate our drivers in the bus ministry. You know, that you may think that that's insignificant, meant a lot to some people this morning. But say they just said, you know what, I just don't want to do it today. Well, that means that there's 10 or 12 kids that don't come in on the bus. We are so appreciative, maybe underappreciative of our nursery workers. Say, yeah, they're all right. No, they're very important. Say, why? Let's go try and have service in there this morning. The smell alone will hurt us, Raj. I mean, that each is important. How many of you like, you don't realize this, but each weekend, I mean, a lot of you do, each weekend, this facility from this wall all the way to the end of the bathrooms in the gym get cleaned. We like sitting on clean things. We like coming to smell apple cinnamon scents. We like coming in and not seeing piles of garbage. How does that happen? It's a miracle. No, people serve. And each have a role and a function that all of it works together. Remember our parallel, the church and the family? Well, so it is in the family. Each have a responsibility, and if neglected, what happens? What happens if dad stops being like dad? Or the child stops being, or again, we're looking at the families that God has placed us in. What happens if you just check out? You're not going to be able to accomplish what it is that God has intended for you to do. Remember this, the love of Christ has been expressed to the church. We've seen it. We just read it in Ephesians chapter 5, right? In verse 23, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. In verse 25, it says this, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. As we see the love of Christ to the church, I begin to see the parallel in the family. The husband to the wife. God's relationship between man should be replicated in the church, but also in the home. God divinely sacrificed his son, and we'll talk about this a little bit more. God divinely sacrificed his son to have a relationship with us. So doing so, brought together an assembly of believers, to which then we are to take that action and respond to one another, but then even more exact within our home. I would say probably the most familiar verse in your Bible, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now go to John chapter 15. We had a bonfire last night, but like a serious bonfire, like hot. And we were making marshmallows, and that's fun. But man, my hands are dry this morning. It seemed to have drawn out all the moisture out of my being. So, see why you're telling me that? I was just waiting for you to get to John 15, honestly. Just sharing a little bit there. All right, John chapter 15, verse 12. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Let's keep in mind, do you see that? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And here it says, it takes that premise, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." And there we see that love fulfilled. Look at verse 13. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." So in God, of his expression of sending Christ and his love to us, therefore, in the church, we take that same expression and show it to one another. God demonstrated love to us. He showed us how to love one another. He showed us how to love our family, showed us how to love our friends. When a father wants to know how to lead his family, he only has to look at the way God has led his people. A lot of times, it's easy to give the excuse of, "Well, I wasn't raised in a Christian home, I don't know what to do." All right, I understand that. I personally understand that. But I am without excuse, because I have the greatest Father. I have the Lord himself who has taught me how to lead. When a man wants to know how to treat his wife, he can look at how Christ gave his life for the church. The same sacrificial love that was shown on the cross can be shown by a mother to her child and can be seen from person to person. So we really are without excuse. Now, Savannah, we bring a human element to it. God in perfection, man in, well, imperfections. But we don't stop trying. We don't stop making effort towards that. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we will attempt to answer number 2. Say, Pastor, are you looking at the clock? I am looking at the clock, and that clock is correct. I appreciate Pastor Seatman changing the clock. How many of you like getting an extra hour of sleep last night? Man, that was nice. I say we do that again tonight. I mean, just keep 24 hours in a day, and we'll just keep moving it, and it's going to be weird in about 2 weeks, but I'm willing to deal with that. I am willing. That was nice. Matthew chapter 6. How many of you, just wondering, just taking a poll, how many of you stayed up later knowing that you got an extra hour of sleep? Yeah, that was dumb. Don't do that. You missed out. You wasted. Now you got to wait 365. You get one day to catch up, and you blew it. I'm sorry. You'll learn. All right, very good. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26 says, "Behold the fowls of the air, how they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them." And then he asks this question. I think birds are great. I enjoy them. They're neat. They walk around. I mean, they're pretty for the most part. But in the level of, hey, where are we at? There's mankind, and then there's birds. I mean, that's just about where it's at. "Are ye not much better than they?" he asks. God has promised, he has expressed his love through provision, protection, guidance to us. And he showed how, as God has provided for his own people, it helps us as parents to know how to provide or act towards our own children and leaders in the church, how to take care of the flock of God. It's this reoccurring example. God to mankind, church leaders to one another, and leadership in the home to the children. It's over and over again. I understand there is no perfect family, right? I mean, we all have that one uncle or that aunt or sister. we all have somebody. Alex, I was talking about Alex. You know, in our family, there are instances of compassion, grace, forgiveness, kindness. In our church, there are instances of compassion, grace, forgiveness, and kindness. But if we're honest, there's also complaining. There's also bickering and gossip and criticism and selfishness. And what shows up in the church will show up in our home too. The same imperfections that are seen in church can be seen in the family and vice versa. So how do we overcome these things? If those things, so hypothetically speaking, say Chester and I have a conflict. Well, what are we supposed to do? Well, we just pretend that it's not there and go on and wait until it gets so insurmountable that we part ways and never to talk again. Seen that? Is that the right way to handle it, though? Blake, what would you say? Right way? No. So what do we do? Well, the Holy Spirit works in our heart to help us to forgive and to love and to show grace. So then we can come together and serve the Lord together, side by side together. remember this lesson today is looking at the way God expects the church to run, and we can make those same applications to the home. So there are certainly instances of compassion, grace, forgiveness, and kindness in our homes. But there's also, what? Bickering, gossiping, criticism, selfishness in the home. Anybody ever experienced that in the house? Yes. So what do? Well, we pretend it's not there until the relationship gets so skewed that we walk out the door, never to return and call again. Seen that happen in homes. That's unfortunate. So what's supposed to happen in the home? Well, we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us into helping us forgive and to show love and to show grace to one another, that we can help one another grow. It's the same thing. The same actions that we should take towards one another in the church house is the same actions that we should take at the home. But all too often, we neglect what God has commanded for the church, and that hurts us. But also, because we're looking at kind of God's family, but it also hurts the home. If there's no repentance and no restoration, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have these unresolved conflicts that all of a sudden there's an explosion over years and years. We don't want that, right? No one wants that. Is Mr. Seatman, where's Mr. Seatman? Is he in junior church this morning? I'm going to tell him Mr. Seatman a little bit. Mr. Seatman is a diehard Hallmark movie family, or film. Amen. Right? Is this? Am I speaking? Very correct. He loves them. Why do we love those? Because it's what we all want. We want to pull into the small town and the pickup truck and the dog, having just come off of a difficult relationship, and find the guy that's working at the, you know, or the lady that's working at the little shop that's trying to get a coffee shop going, and she's been, you know, and we want to come into the full feast at Christmas time with the gentle snow falling. We want that, and that's why we watch those. Everybody, listen now. Everybody wants to live in a home where there's peace and love and joy. But we all have to take efforts to make that happen. And it will always require some humility on somebody's part. We all want to attend a church where God is honored and glorified and worshiped. No one wants to say, I got to sit on this side of the church because I cannot stand somebody over there. Or you look at the nursery schedule, you got to change this, Mrs. Humby. I can't work with that person. Or, hey, we're having a men's work day. Oh, I saw this person sign up. I'm not going. That would be a shame to the church. So you want a Hallmark church? I want to come to a place where there's love and joy and peace. And that takes effort on everybody's part. That doesn't happen naturally. Remember, our natural ways are selfishness and pride, and we have agendas. But let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us forgive and love and to show grace in both families, the church family and the home. One of the best ways to do this, and you'll find this number three, one of the best ways to help strengthen a family and strengthen the church is to surround yourself with people that love God and want to worship Him. Because being filled with faith is contagious. I'm not saying you got to have pastors and missionaries over all the time, but find people that truly do love the Lord and spend time with them. It is good to have that type of family or that type of person at your table for your children to hear, for you to be encouraged. Allow your children to sit at the table to hear these people share and encourage your family. They don't have to be pastors or missionaries. They can be just ordinary people that love the Lord and enjoy serving Him. I have the privilege of getting to spend, my schedule works out where I can change my schedule around, and I get to do some pretty great things. I get to spend some time with some pretty great people. And last week, I know maybe some of you don't know this, but the D'Amato family is a sweet family. He served as pastor for 40 years, and man, I love just sitting around and talking with him. That is Mrs. Gerolamo's sister's husband. Man, he is such an encouragement to me. Sometimes a reproach, he's not trying to be a reproach, but it helps me correct me. And I love being around him. You know why? Because he loved serving the Lord. He loves it. He loved the ministry. He served as pastor for 40 years and would go back to it in a second if he could. Say, what happened? Was there sin? No, he just couldn't do it anymore physically. Remember the Richardsons? Mr. Richardson, pastor of Morton Baptist Church. He loved serving the Lord, but physically he could just not do it anymore. I love talking with people that love to serve the Lord. It's an encouragement. Find those people. Be around those people. That will encourage your heart. But know what happens when we find someone that's critical? We become critical. Hey, distance yourself from critical people. Now, there's an honest criticism. If I came in here with pink pants and a purple shirt, a polka dot and stripes, and everything was a mess, and say, you need to change. Don't be critical. No, that's honest. That's just true. We need some people that are going to help us. But being around someone that's cutting down the church house or the work of the Lord, that's not going to help you. A person that is... You know, there's people out there that are anti-family. Be careful that you not give an ear. There's ladies out there that can't stand their husbands. And they'll tell you every chance you get. There's guys out there that can't stand their wives. And they'll tell you every chance they get. That's dangerous to spend time around. There's kids that despise their parents. Young people, stay away from those kids. Because God says to honor your parents. And if you get a little bit of that in your heart, you're going against God Himself. Listen to their stories as they share about God's faithfulness. That will leave a lasting impression on everybody's heart. That'll be helpful. So, some benefits of finding godly people to surround your family with are, and you can fill that out, what your abstract thoughts are. Again, there's no right or wrong. But maybe to help you follow along. The care between the church and Christ is unmistakable. Christ died for the church. We saw that in Ephesians 5. We are to love one another. 1 Peter chapter 4. We need to remember to not be selfish, but to be humble and think of others. Philippians chapter 2. We need to show love one toward another. Well, loving others means what? Well, I wrote down five things. Oh, look at that. Number four. Look at number four in your little handout. Does everyone have a handout? We had some latecomers to handouts. All right. Everyone have a handout? All right. Showing love for one another means, number one, valuing unity. Number two, valuing others' needs over personal opinions. That's what loving others means. Taking an interest in others' lives. Hey, there's going to be natural compatibility between people within even families. Maybe at Thanksgiving, there's, hey, you know somebody, as extended families get together and you're at the whatever house it is, you know, hey, I'm looking for this person because we just connect. And that's great. But we ought to make an effort to take an interest in everybody's life. Tell me what you're doing. Tell me what's going on. Why? Because we care for one another. We love one another. Number four, encouraging others' accomplishments and rejoicing in their success. We don't want to see that their success is an attack on our own personal character. We're all, listen, this may come as a shock, but we're all allowed to win. I love to play board games. I love it. The board games I have a hard time with are those cooperative ones where we all work together to do something. There's no winner at the end. That's not how I'm programmed. I grew up on Monopoly. One person goes bankrupt, well, everybody goes bankrupt, and I get all their money. That's how we play Monopoly. Risk. I take over the world. That's the game. And sometimes in life, that's how we see it. I win. And for me to win, everybody else has to lose. No, we can all win. Within a church, to see success happen is, well, they can't worship more. They're getting more pulpit time. Their name gets mentioned more. Hey, we can all win. There's no winners and losers here. We encourage one another in accomplishments. This morning in junior church, little Isaiah Seatman, buddy, is giving a 5-minute message. That's a blessing. I'm the preacher here. We should rejoice in things like that. Number five, serving others and not waiting to be served. Loving means valuing unity, valuing others' needs over personal opinions, taking an interest in others' lives, encouraging others' accomplishments and rejoicing in their successes, and then serving others and not waiting to be served. You know, when a new person comes to Christ, there is an adjustment time. Never before have they had the indwelling Holy Spirit of God working on things to be added to your life and things that need to go. Never had that. Every decision I made was what I wanted to do, how I wanted to do it. And now I have something and a book to tell me how to live. Never had that before. And we are so thankful for the guidelines and the direction that God gives us to have joy and peace and love. We're so thankful for that. But love is difficult, especially for new Christians, because they still have so much of the natural man and there's selfishness in that. Look at Philemon chapter 1. If you find Hebrews, it's right before it. Philemon chapter 1 and verse 15. For perhaps as he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. He's warning, he says, hey, this guy that's coming, he's kind of new. Let's not just treat him as anybody else, but as a beloved brother. You know, in the scriptures, it tells us, it helps us. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, it tells us how church leaders should behave. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, it tells us how men should behave. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 9 through 15, it tells us how women should behave. It tells us to care for the elderly in 1 Timothy chapter 5. It tells us to take care of the widows in 1 Timothy chapter 5. It tells us how what we should do with our finances and our wealth in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Imagine a person with no church and no God in the background of their life. They don't know how to behave themselves as a man. They don't know how to behave themselves as a woman. They don't know to care for those that are less fortunate. They don't know what to do with their finances. And we as a church need to be sensitive to that and willing to work with that. We need to learn. We need to help people learn how to act as a Christian. Now remember our parallel. Imagine a person came from a place where they didn't have an example of what a good dad is or a mom. Children were left to raise themselves, or there's a very sorrowful circumstance or something like that. What do we do? Imagine not having the Word of God to help them with those things. I'm just saying that the same instruction that God gives to the church, He also gives to the family. And there's hope and there's help there. If you're new to this, that's okay. There's some grace that can be shown, that should be shown. The church ought to be one of inclusive, not exclusive. Because when a new person comes in, you understand, oh, I just see trouble. We ought to see talents and skills and gifts. Each person has a unique skill set that God has given to them. God has a plan, and that next point, that number five, has a plan for the church and home. The same things He expresses or expects out of the church, He expects out of the home. I'll tell you them quickly. Number one, the church is to share the gospel, and so is the home. To share the gospel of Christ. Number two, to worship. Number three, to serve. Number four, to help Christians grow in their faith. And number five, the church is to be on, and so is the home, to be on mission with the Lord. We'll finish the next 3 or 4 minutes with some additional thoughts on that. If the church is to share the gospel of Christ, so is the family. A family needs to adopt the Great Commission as their own. Matthew chapter 5, we're to shine as lights no matter where we go. When God, look at Mark chapter 5. Look at this. When God saved us, remember the born again, Mark chapter 5 and verse 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath compassion on thee. So not only was he saved, what did he do? He sent him out to go tell others. So it should be with us. Yes, as a church, but what are you doing as a family to impact the gospel? In church, we're to worship. How was God worshipped in your home? Is His name honored? Are there devotions and prayer time together? Does the music that is played and sung praise and honor the Lord? Are there blessings and giving? Say, you want us to take offerings at home? No. But if the Lord commands us to give to the church, shouldn't a family be a family of giving? No, that's my pack of gum. No, that's my toy. No, that's my pair of shoes. That's my... Yes, true. That's your $10 too, but we ask that you'd give a dollar as tithe. In our home, it would be wise of us to make church attendance as a priority for unity in the home. I want to draw our attention to this last point just for sake of time. The church is to serve and the importance of serving. We see that example in Christ, but there are so many opportunities as that we should be looking for. A lot of times we maybe get consumed with our own personal responsibilities, so we come in and we do this, but how about as a family? Let's just talk about opportunities for your family to serve. We all have neighbors, for the most part. helping your neighbor shovel or raking or taking up some trash and helping them just clean up. Maybe you have a young person at your house that could volunteer to babysit to a couple that maybe hasn't had a date night in a while. If the Lord places that on any of our young teenagers' hearts, hey, I ask that you talk to your parents, but try and do that. Pick a couple, maybe one couple each month, and say, we would like to watch your kids while you guys can go out. That would be a help. That would be a blessing. The whole responsibility of the babysitter is just to return the children alive. That's all you got to do. 4 hours. Say, 4 hours? Are you kidding? You don't want to give them time restraints. You want to be a blessing. You don't want to send them to Wendy's. You want to send them to something nice. Helping a family move. Goodie bags. These are things that you can do as a family for people. Hey, we made some chocolate chip cookies this past weekend and just handing them out. Now be careful. Yeah, exactly. Be careful that you not exclude people and make people feel bad, but maybe you just leave them in their car. How long do I have, Pastor Seaman? Is it 10-2? Is that our set time? 3 minutes. Okay. 20 years ago, a long time, my mom started sending letters to people. Remember stamping? Remember that? Rubber stamping? That was like a thing. It was like right before scrapbooking. It was the fad before scrapbooking. And my mom would send letters to missionaries and all over. Well, she found out that there was a missionary family that also liked rubber stamping. So they would exchange cards. Well, all of a sudden, my mom, it's like, hey, we're having a family over for dinner tonight. They're a missionary family. I want you to try and make them feel real welcome. Okay. As a family, it was something that we could do together. If you knew where, we didn't have two nickels to rub together. Our cars were always, you know, we did not have money. But a pound of pasta is a dollar. For $5, you could feed a lot of people. That's sauce, pasta, and that's it. I mean, maybe a gallon of milk or two. And you could do that. And you can make someone feel loved and cared for. And that family came around, and sure enough, they were right off the boat. And they weren't up on the latest styles because they've been in a foreign country for the last, and, you know, they were apprehensive, but we befriended them. The Kadenko family. That worked out, okay? I'm just saying, you never know what good can come from that. It's something you can do as a family. Sometimes finding those things as families is difficult. Can we go one step further? Administering one to another, maybe be considerate. Sometimes holiday season's difficult. Maybe you pray and ask the Lord, how do we be a help to somebody? Be an encouragement. Maybe you walk alongside a single mother and helping her in that way. These are things that whole families can do. The church can help Christians grow in their faith. Displaying scripture signs and discussing Sunday school lessons and sermon topics and praying together as families. Question is, you know, every day we open up our school doors and from 8:30 to 3:30, except for Wednesdays, we have school. A great effort is given to academics, learning academics. I wonder if we applied the same efforts towards teaching spiritual things in our families and in our homes, what would change? I just encourage you, that the instructions that God has given to the church that we look at as God has given to us as families and you as families. Again, you may look at it and go, well, my family doesn't look like yours. Okay, that's fine. There's not right or wrong with this. That's okay. You have opportunity, though. I don't have children. Well, maybe you have nieces and nephews. Maybe you have grandchildren. You can shine the light of Christ no matter where you go. If you're here, I'll help. I'm going to help you with something. If you're discontent with the family that God has given you, it won't change when it looks like somebody else's. You understand that? If you're discontent with the situation that God has given you and not content and thankful for that spot right now, that even if you got what you wanted, you'd be discontent with that too. I'm just letting you know. The grass is not greener on the other side. So figure out where you're at and ask the Lord to give you opportunity to serve Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You.